जया गोपी जन भालाभा गिरिबर धारी यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा वनचारी जमुना तीरा वनचारी जया राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंजा बिहारी श्री राधा माधवा की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज अगचार्य आष्टोत्तरशत श्रीमद् इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज अगचार्य आष्टोत्तरशत श्रीमद् इज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की इस्कॉन फाउंडराचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथरा श्रीमं भागवतं की निताय गौर प्रेमनंदी। ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरिस टू द असेंबल डेवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरिस टू श्री गुरु वंशी गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Shrimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, the Summon Bonon, Chapter 7, the Killing of the Demon Trinibharta, Text 8 to 10. So I read first text number 8 and the translation. We read text number 9 together, and I read text number 10 and the translation. So text number 8. Tistva Yasoda Pramukha Brajastriya Autanike Karmani Yashamagata Nandada Yascha Bhuta Darshanan Kula Katam Swayam Vaisha Katam Viparyagat. Translation: when Mother Yasoda and the other ladies who have assembled for the Uttama festival and all of the men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, saw the wonderful situation, they began to wonder how the handcar had collapsed by itself. They began to wander here and there, trying to find the cause, but were unable to do so. Text number 9. Uchur Abhashita Matin Uchur Abhyavashita Matin Gopango Pishabalaka Rudatanena Padena Shiptan Etanna Samsaya Uchur Abhyabhashita Matin Gopango Pischabalaka Rudatanena Padena Shiptan Etanna Samsaya Uchur Abhyavasita Matin Gopango Pischabalaka Rudatanena Padena Shiptam Etam Nasamsaya. Please chant. Uchu said, Abhyabhashita Matin, who have lost all intelligence in the present situation, Gopam, the cowherd man, Gopicha, and to the ladies, Balakaha, the children, Rudata Anena, as soon as the child cry, Padena, with one leg, Shiptan Etat, this car was dashed apart and immediately fell dismantled. Nasamsaya, there is no doubt about it. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The assembled cowherd men and the ladies began to contemplate how this had happened. Is it the work of some demon or evil planet? They asked. At that time, the small children present asserted that the car has been kicked apart by the baby Krishna. As soon as the crying baby had kicked the car wheel, the car had collapsed. There was no doubt about it. Purport. We have heard people being haunted by ghosts. Having no gross material body, a ghost seeks shelter of a gross body to stay in and haunt. The Shakatashura was a ghost who had taken shelter of the hand car and was looking for the opportunity to do mischief to Krishna. When Krishna kicked the car with his small and very delicate legs, the ghost was immediately pushed down to the earth and his shelter dismantled, as already described. This was possible for Krishna because he has full potency, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.32. Anga nijasya shakalendri avriti manti pashanti panti kalajanti chiram jaganti ananda chimuja sadujo labigrahasya govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Krishna's body is Sachit Ananda Vigraha or Ananda Chimaya Rasa Vigraha. That is, any of the parts of his Ananda Chimaya body can act for any other part. Such are the inconceivable potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord does not need to acquire these potencies. He already has them. Thus, Krishna kicked his little leg and his whole purpose was fulfilled. Also, when the handcar broke, an ordinary child could have been injured in many ways, but because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he enjoyed the dismantling of the car and nothing injured him. Everything done by him is Ananda Chimaya Rasa, full transcendental bliss. Thus, Krishna factually enjoyed. The nearby children saw that actually Krishna has kicked the wheel of the car, and this was how the accident happened. By the arrangement of Yogamaya, all the gopis and gopas thought that the accident had taken place because of some bad planet or some ghost. But in fact, everything was done by Krishna and enjoyed by him. Those who enjoy the activities of Krishna are also on the platform of Ananda Chimaya Rasa. They are liberated from the material platform. When one develops the practice of hearing Krishna Katha, he is certainly transcendental to material existence, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Sagunan Samatityaitam Brahma Bhujaya Kalpate. Unless one is on the spiritual platform, one cannot enjoy the transcendental activities of Krishna. In other words, whoever engages in hearing the transcendental activities of Krishna is not on the material platform, but on the transcendental spiritual platform. Text number 10. Nate sada dhire gopa balabashitan ityuta apreme jam balam tasya balakasya nate bidhu. Translation: the assembled gopis and gopas, unaware that Krishna is always unlimited, could not believe that baby Krishna has such inconceivable power. They could not believe the statement of the children, and therefore they neglected this statement as being childish talk. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Srimate Ramapada Swami Tinam Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Bancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Nanda Maharaj is already being informed. He was already informed by Vasudev that there will be many disturbances in Gokula because of the demoniac king Kamsa. So he was already pretty much alert that bad things, you know, could happen. And that was confirmed as he's coming back from Mathura after meeting with Vasudev, and he saw the 12-mile witch body dead. And, you know, heard all the commotion that actually this witch has taken Krishna. But nothing happened to Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj recognized it, that Vasudev was very enlightened, so he could see, he could understand. So he was pretty much aware or guard that, or alert, more better to say. So when this event happened, that baby Krishna was in danger because he was under a car that all of a sudden on his own just exploded and collapsed. Now, the artist of the Bhaktivedanta, how do you say, art department, the devotees who painted, they painted this pastime, and they depicted the cards, you know, in general, how you see the cards in the rural India, especially in Vrindavan. It was a hand card, so sometimes you see that there is a big bullet cards, and there's the hand cards that are taken by actually people. And you see it in the streets sometimes, and you know, just like there is rickshaw wallahs, then there is that they do with the bicycle. There's actually some of them that do it on feet, and they take people on feet, but they also take, you know, these hand cards. And they're quite, you know, substantial, they're big. You know, and sometimes you get surprised to see all these skinny guys, the strength that they have to actually carry the things, you know. So they push it through the streets, and they move quite swiftly. Sometimes you see, you know, when you get into those rickshaws with the skinny fellow just paddling, you know, two, three people, and they do it. Somehow they do it. But the hand cars are quite substantial. And this hand car was, and you know, they have big wheels, and the big wheels is what allows, you know, the thing to actually move swiftly. And it is explained that this hand car was filled with all kinds of things, like pottery, copper and metal pots. So it was packed with all kinds of utensils. And obviously they're done very sturdy, because they have to, you know, the roads in rural India, they're dirt roads. So, and stone roads. They have to tuk, 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 tuk. So they have to be very sturdy. So the fact that this card just exploded, basically, just went boom, and everything were flying. Prabhupada's translator, hither and thither, flying all over the place, all these big utensils, and the wheel exploded, the car exploded. Now you can imagine that commotion that it caused. And the fact that the little baby son of the queen and king of Vrindavan was under this car in a little basket. Tiny baby with very delicate legs. So there was a big scare. But when they saw that the baby was perfectly happy and safe, they were immediately relieved, and then they tried to find an explanation. What happened? How this thing happened? So the only thing that can happen is that there was some ghost or demon, they were thinking, or some malevolent influence that allowed that, make that happen. So Nanda Maharaj thinks things like that because he's already aware that in guard, or say alert, that these things, you know, are coming to Vrindavan. And that's what Vasudev was able to see. So some malevolent force. But the fact is that the children saw what would happen, the little children, and they say, no, that was not some malevolent force that destroyed this car. That was little baby Krishna. We saw it. He kicked the wheel with his little leg and the whole thing went explode. So obviously, the gopas and the gopis say, children, you know, not baby can, you know, what is this? You know, not even a big animal can do that, or strong person, so dismiss it. So Prabhupada explains that this is the result, or this is because of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya won't allow the inhabitants of Vrindavan to understand, even when they witness themselves, they still get immediately covered. Like they witness Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, and they still were trying to rationalize it. Krishna, you know, was, they somehow they get covered. So this is what Yoga Maya does. Yoga Maya covers the understanding of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, so they can be freely loving Krishna as their child, and no awe and reverence becomes mixed with that type of in their relationship. The other point that Prabhupada makes is from Krishna's perspective. So from Krishna's perspective, the action is just a very simple thing. And just as we've been talking and we've been hearing throughout all this narration, is Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all his powers and all his potencies. And those are manifested regardless of the form that he has and possesses or manifests. So in the form of a baby, he is the same powerful personality. So for him, this is nothing. And he could have done that with any part of his body. So Prabhupada quoted the verse from the Brahma Sanhita. What is it? Angani jasha shakalendriya vriti manti. Angani, that any one of his limbs, any one of his senses, any part of his body can do the function of the other. So any part of his body is fully independently empowered to do everything, which is like, it's quite amazing. So that's why the Lord can eat with his sight. So when we offer boga to the Lord, he can actually taste with his sight and consume and digest and the whole thing. So any part of his body is independently, fully potent. So the Lord can create, can maintain, or can destroy anything with any single part of his body. So the destroying and the killing of this demon was no problem, nothing big. But the remarkable part that Prabhupada highlights is part of Krishna's nature, that is this Ananda Chimoja Rasa Vigraha, that his form is a form of Ananda Chimaya, which is that he is a form that fully enjoys, that is simply of enjoying. So everything that he does is he is a pastime. He enjoys that. So that's why he called it a pastime. So anything that Krishna does is his pastime. Pastime, when we have talk about pastime, is when you do something for your enjoyment, you know, that you do for relaxing, for entertaining, like that. So Krishna's activities are his pastimes, his lila. So everything he does, he enjoys. So when he's actually fighting an enemy, killing a demon, you know, in general, when you think about that you have to fight someone, that's not something that you do as a pastime or enjoy. I mean, there may be some crazy people who enjoy fighting, you know, like one of those bullies or something. But in general, it is not enjoyment. It's just they're so messed up in their heads and emotions that, you know, it's just another extension of the suffering. But for Krishna, it's different. Krishna, he enjoys that. He enjoys fighting, and he enjoys this, you know, kicking that car, making it explode, you know, on the top of him, and then killing the ghost demon that was there. So he enjoys that. And although it could be something extremely dangerous, you know, from the outside, Krishna is in complete control. So he is perfectly safe, happy, and enjoying. So that's another very important point to understand. That is, you know, even when Krishna displays this pastime of tremendous anger, like Lord Nrisimhadev, such an intensity and level of anger that, you know, no one in the universe has seen something like that. Like supreme anger. Usually when we talk about anger, we, you know, it's such a negative emotion that that, you know, people just, you know, you don't want to be even close to it. You don't want to experience it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to be involved. You want, you know, to just, you know, you see someone crazily angry, you just, you know, okay, leave that crazy people alone, and then, you know, just walk away. You know? And then there's Lord Nrisimhadev, manifestation of Lord Vishnu that displays the supreme anger. Nothing even comes close to that. To the point that even Lakshmi Devi couldn't even recognize him. Never seen something like that. But from Krishna's perspective, he's just enjoying. So how we understand this thing is impossible to understand. But he's enjoying. It's his pastime. It was understood by Jai and Vijay. It was understood, it was Lord Vishnu's desire. He likes to fight. You know, Lord Vishnu. He would like, you know, he have this chivalrous. Yes, you know, I always have a hard time pronouncing that one. But he have that sort of mood, you know. So who can fight him? Who can, the devotees fulfill the desire, the devotees take pleasure in fulfilling the desires of the Lord. So the Lord, if he desires to fight, then the devotees say, yes, my Lord, you know, we'll fight you for your pleasure. For your pleasure. So he takes pleasure on that. So the devotees, you know, the arrangement was made by Krishna and facilitated by his devotees. Circumstantially the whole thing happens and they understood. They become demons, the biggest, most dangerous enemies of Lord Vishnu to fight him. And then, you know, then these demons, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, were taken care by the Lord in these epic fightings. With Hiranyaksha, it took like some huge amount of time of fighting this powerful demon. The Lord in the form of a boar, fighting, and the demigods, you know, watching at their spectacle. And then sometimes, you know, the Lord, you know, it looks like the demon had the upper hand because the Lord was sort of like not, you know, like, I mean, apparently it taking too much time. The narration always say that the Lord was always like, you know, like swift, you know, it was like, I don't know, Muhammad Ali, you know, just like swim, you know, like doing his dancing and you know, doing this type of thing, and the other fighter trying to swing here and there, you know, and throwing this, and you know, and meanwhile the Lord is just having a great time. But the demigods, you know, getting nervous because time is passing, and the demon getting, you know, is getting more anger, you know, and then as the certain periods of time become more powerful and this and that. And sometimes, you know, the demon will hit, you know, and then the Lord will lose his mace. So it was all this drama. Meanwhile, Lord Vishnu's enjoying like anything from his perspective. Nice fight. Finally, he just, okay, take care of this demon. Touching with his hoof, right, hit it in the head or something like that. And the guy just like went boom, 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 and then, you know, blood and die. And then with Hiranyakashipu, it was more like, you know, this display of anger, but that he manifested as Lord Nrisimhadev. And not only kill Hiranyakashipu, but he killed all Hiranyakashipu's powerful demon army, just decimated. I don't know if you ever seen the depiction of the artist of Lord Nrisimhadev, like with thousands of arms, all with weapons in hand, just chopping demons. It was very gory, the whole thing. So it's very difficult for people to understand. So, you know, usually when people see that picture of Lord Nrisimhadev, like tearing, you know, a person apart and pulling out all the insides, and there's blood and there's all like guts and things, you know, like all over the place. And, you know, so what is this exactly? Oh, I said, that's the Supreme Lord enjoying, you know, his pastimes. Difficult to understand, but the fact is that the Lord always enjoying, and that's something we have to understand. And then Prabhupada explains that those who are pure-hearted, they also are on the same platform of Ananda Chimaya Vigraha. That they also relish and enjoy just hearing about Krishna's pastime. They act in the same spiritual platform of enjoyment, of happiness, of transcendental enjoyment and happiness. Just to actually be in contact and hear about Krishna's pastimes. So that's why in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Srila Vyasadeva says that this narration of the Bhagavatam is relishable to those who are satam, or the devotees, pure devotees, pure in heart, nidmat saranam satam. Dharma prajita kaita bo tra paramo nirmat saranam satam. That those who are pure-hearted devotees, for them, this is very relishable, very relishable. It gives them happiness. He also tells us, you know, that for us, how can we get to that platform? Was part of the answers that Srila Sutta Goswami. How can we get to the platform of relishing and tasting, getting a taste for relishing Krishna's pastimes? Vasudeva Katha Ruchi. That we get a taste to hear the presence of the Lord. So the key is given by Srila Sutta Goswami, Srushusho Shadadanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi, that this Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevanat, O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vices. So by serving those who are relishing, those who are in that platform of Ananda Chimo Yavyagraha, who have reached, who have regained that platform, who have manifested that relishable, pure-hearted devotees, by serving them, then we gain affinity for hearing the messages or the pastimes of the Lord. So there lies the secret. So we have the great fortune that we've been engaged in the service of Srila Prabhupada, and serving those who are serving the servitors of Srila Prabhupada to assist in Prabhupada's mission. So by doing that, under the guidance of those who are fully committed and devoted to Srila Prabhupada, then naturally we're going to get there. The Bhagavatam breaks it down. You know, they give Prabhupada give the whole breakdown. So you serve the devotees till you gain affinity. And in hearing the message of Vasudev, then he says, Sri Krishna, the personality of God, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who have developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Srimbatan Swakata Krishna verse, Punyan Shravanam Kirtanam, Ridunoti Habadrani, Vidunoti Shuhitsatam. And then, so, serve those who are pure-hearted devotees, who are relishing the messages and the pastimes of Krishna. We serve them, and by that we gain affinity. When Krishna sees that we actually gain an affinity from within the heart, he cleanses the heart. He cleanses the heart from the unwanted things. And then he tells Srila Sutta Goswami, by regular attendance in classes of the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome in the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So the affinity, we gain the affinity, and we see how, you know, we actually liked very much to hear. Like, who doesn't like here to, you know, to come to the Bhagavatam? I mean, you see, like, say, for example, it gives some praise to Jai Baladev Prabhu. A guy walks from Evanston to the temple every day in the morning just to come to Bhagavatam class. So that tells something, you know. So we all do. We are, you know, why we do that? Why taking that trouble? Well, because somehow or other we're developing this, you know, this attraction to hear the messages of the Bhagavatam. So What is it? Srimbatan, no. Nashta praesha badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. So, this seva of hearing the Bhagavatam, but also that have to be alone with rendering service to the devotees. Rendering service to the pure devotees. So the Bhagavatam, it is described as the book Bhagavatam and the person's Bhagavatam. So the seva have to be like that. And then completely destroyed. Almost completely destroyed. Because there's more to go. The narration goes, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, remember Krishna almost destroyed all the unwanted things, nasta praeshu abhadreshu, from the heart, and then loving service unto the personality of Godhead becomes established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart, then the devotee is establishing goodness and becomes completely happy. Thus, establishing the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The change of fruit of action is terminated when one sees the self as master. Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists has been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self, etc., etc. So, that's how we reawaken our natural constitutional position, the form of Ananda Chimaya, which is a form of transcendental enjoyment, transcendental happiness, and relishing that transcendental happiness, just like the Lord. Any comments or questions? Yes, the microphone is right there.
Thanks for the class as well. When Krishna killed Uttana and later the serpent Kaliya, they go to heavenly planets because Krishna forgave them. But here doesn't mention that they were pardoned or they have the grace of being killed by Krishna. It's not mentioned. Is there any particular situation why this sort of preference between some demons that get pardoned and other ones that don't?
Well, it looks with Kaliya he didn't kill. He chastised Kaliya and then ordered Kaliya to go to some other place. With Putana she did service. She actually, you know, offered her milk. So she got chastised and killed, and with her killing she became purified by Krishna's touching or accepting her offering. Shakatasura it doesn't say, but what we understand is that most of the demons that he kills He gave liberation into the Brahma and the forging, and the example that some of the example has been narrated, like say Agasura, that everybody saw the soul or the, you know, the spark of the soul hovering in the sky and then whoosh, going into Krishna's lotus feet. You know, everybody who was there, the demigods, everybody witnessed that, you know. So, in my limited understanding, is that the difference is, in terms of Putana, is that she did service. The other ones there, they didn't do no service. They were just trying to kill him. So that's that. What makes that difference?
Sakatasura was a cart serving.
Yeah, well, no, was not doing, you know, something specifically to Krishna. Well, maybe, you know, sheltering from the sun or something like that, but yeah, that don't know.
Thank you.
Yes, back to Kevin Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was going to say that I liked when you were describing the differences between somebody enjoying fighting, like Krishna on the transcendental platform, he can enjoy fighting, but somebody in the material world, if they try to enjoy fighting, like more than likely they're probably a crazy person. So as you were describing that, I was getting these flashbacks of watching these UFC fighting programs and stuff. Like I used to be a fan like years ago, and I'd see these conferences where these guys would be like meeting with each other, like before they would have a big fight, and they'd be like looking at each other like all crazy. Like some guys would be in this mood of like, ah, yeah, I'm so famous, like I'm undefeated, like I'm ready to fight anybody, and they had this like really vicious like mood like inside them, and like totally crazy people, like just totally vicious. And I remember people in high school too, like guys who were bad kind of guys and get in trouble, and they'd be like always ready to brawl like people, and
yeah,
they just had this crazy mentality, like who the heck are you guys, like why are you like total barbarians or animals or something. So
for those of you who don't know, the UFC is this fighting, you know, sport that they is not boxing, is actually even more vicious, that they, it's like a street fight make it into a sport, you know, type of thing. So they kick their elbow, they, you know, whatever it is, you know, and they, you know, they put these two persons just to like a street fighters. It's very vicious. And you know, it's very popular. You know, right now it's big time, no? And you may think, you know, some of them really, they you know, it's they enjoy it. It's like they look forward, you know, but they're maniacs. It's crazy. No one is enjoying that. And in general, at one point, they get beaten and they become miserable. You know, it's like the whole persona gets destroyed just by when they get beaten. There was, I remember coming in contact list, just checking on that. Because, you know, when I was working, also was surrounded by people who were like really into the thing. So I get exposed. So there was this woman who was, you know, like a good looking woman, but, you know, I mean, she's scary because she was like this build up, you know, woman. She was the super champion, undefeated. And, you know, she's always bragging and, you know, like mean. And then she's fighting this other one, and the other woman just beat her. Like, beat her very bad. You know this, what I'm talking?
Like Ronda Rousey?
What's her name?
Ronda Rousey?
Yes, that one. That one, yes. So she got beaten. She got beaten very badly. And then deflated, then now, you know, no one hears about, you know, the woman is not famous anymore. Who knows what happened to her, you know, and things like that. That's something like that. You know, it happens to all this. Say that Mike Tyson guy, you know, he was the most feared one, you know, like boxer. And then he got defeated very badly that, you know, he got so humiliated that, you know, he ended, you know, chopping the ear of the guy who was beating her. You know, I mean, he became so disgraced that he ended in jail, people hating him, you know, like that. So these are crazy people that in reality, like, is the is a total contrary, opposite thing of Krishna. Krishna looks like he's like fighting, he's angry, but he's enjoying. These people look like they're enjoying, but they're suffering like anything. You know, so it's the opposite. Yes, Kamalani Prabhu.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. Just for clarification, you were saying that, for example, Putana was given complete liberation because she had done service giving them milk like this, and that the other demons who were killed, they were just trying to take Krishna out, and that he took them, returned them to Brahmajyoti, to where they're going to fall down, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's not, when they get impersonal liberation, it's not that everybody who takes, that's my understanding, also is limited, don't take me 100%. But as far as I understand, it's not that all the living entities that enter into the Brahmajyoti falls down. That's what I understand. But I'm not 100%.
Okay, yeah. I was watching a lecture, and then one of the Prabhus had said, he says, so what's the benefit if you're going to go to Brahmajyoti and possibly fall down?
Yeah.
And then the response was, at least you didn't go to hell. So this is better that you're still...
Yeah, no, they're not going to... Once they touch by Krishna, they become purified. So that's why they obtain liberation.
Eyeball.
You know, imagine being, you know, touched by Krishna. Then you just, Krishna face to face, just like knocking
mercy.
You out, you know? You know, the touch is the same. It's absolute, it's perfectly purifying.
Sorry. Thank you, Prabhu.
Krishna, in this verse, we can see in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that unless one is transcendentally situated, he cannot enjoy the activities of Krishna. You know, then there is a very nice verse is there in first canto, that is, evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogita. That in that verse it is stated, unless one comes in contact with devotional service, then he cannot get the, you know, mode of goodness.
Mm.
So ultimately that means we have to attach with devotional service.
Yes.
Then only you can get
the
mode of goodness.
I think I read the translation
of that one. Then only you can enjoy transcendental activities of the Lord.
Yes.
So, one more question here to discuss. See how interestingly it is mentioned that Gopakumars, means children, they could know the transcendental, you know, activities of Krishna, whereas all other, they could not know how it happened. They thought it is ghost, something haunted, something. So, we can, that means how Jogamaya could not act upon Gopakumars, that means on children. So, what is your...
I couldn't follow perfectly. So, that the children...
They could know, whereas others, they could not know.
Yeah, well, the children witnessed, they saw the whole thing, and they were saying, no, it was Krishna kick,
that's
you
right.
know, Krishna kick, how is that possible? It's a baby.
That is, Jogamaya could not act upon them. So maybe I came thinking because maybe they are associates of Krishna, they have taken birth from the Golok. So they want to enjoy the transcendental activity.
Yeah, all these babies, I mean, you assume that they became later, they were part of the whole, you know, gopas of Vrindavan that will go with Krishna. I mean, there were all kinds. There were the little ones that were a little older, the ones that were same age, and the ones that were younger. So they will go all with Krishna. And so they have the special arrangement that they were able to witness Krishna killing all these demons. So they always will come, oh wow, Krishna did this, and then the parents will be like, something happened, but you know, they couldn't, they somehow that they will always cover like that. But yeah, the gopas were able to all the time witness Krishna doing all the things. The only thing that Krishna didn't want it to witness was him eating the fire. Remember that one? That he say, close your eyes. You know, and then he ate the fire. And it was because Krishna was thinking, I got chastised already from eating dirt. What to speak, you know, if I'm eating fire? So... anything else? Yes, Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Let's see my notes. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your class. Forgive me, my notes are kind of, I'm not a good speaker and my notes are kind of everywhere, but you were mentioning that Krishna enjoys fighting. And I would say, who wouldn't enjoy fighting if they know they're going to win every time, go undefeated?
Yes.
So Krishna is always smiling, like I was saying yesterday, because he's the Supreme Controller. And unfortunately, if our happiness comes from being a Supreme Controller, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment, no matter how great we are, how great we think we are. And you were mentioning Nrisimhadev and Hiranyakashipu, so I kind of like to mention that pastime too, regarding some points. Hiranyakashipu, his happiness tried to come from being a Supreme Controller. Basically, we see that there's many good qualities like determination, but we see in the scriptures that there are two types of determination, demoniac determination and divine determination. Hiranyakashipu was obviously demoniac. He was determined. He was a demon who was, you know, determined with low character. Basically, he tried to defeat Prahlad, not once, not twice, not three. I don't know how many times he tried, but he still didn't get the point. And Prahlad, he was also determined too. Hiranyakashipu was determined to defeat his enemies on the outside, and Prahlad was determined to defeat his enemies on the inside. And that's why he was so happy. So my last point is kind of related to that point. Actually, I have two other points. One observation, this is a good observation that you reminded me of, is that when in a material world, when one politician defeats another politician, he's honored. When another boxer beats another boxer, he's honored. When one basketball team or sports team beat another sports team, they're honored. So many things where you see these competitions, they're honored. But we never see somebody honored for defeating their enemies on the inside. No, if somebody came up to us and said, you know, I haven't watched pornography for a week, can I get a medal? Nobody will honor you for that. But Krishna will honor you for that. Shrimbatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana. Or if somebody says, I actually forgave somebody today and tolerated them, nobody's going to honor you for that. But Krishna, you get more benefits for defeating your enemies on the outside than defeating your enemies. So one last point I would like to make is that we see that Hiranyakashipu, he asked Prahlad, what is the most important thing you've learned? And of course, Prahlad says, what was that verse? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam. The most important thing is hearing and chatting about Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu was like, how is that possible? You should hear and chant about me. So that's the tendency that when we disagree with somebody, Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to excommunicate his enemies, either Prahlad for glorifying Vishnu, or he excommunicated Vishnu. But we see that that even though Hiranyakashipu is kind of like us, the tendency is that when we disagree with somebody, we consider someone our enemy, we want to excommunicate them either from the planet or from our presence. But we see that this tendency to defeat his enemies on the outside was useless, because when Prahlad glorified Vishnu, that still brought him unhappy. The lesson I learned from this, that it's useless to excommunicate our enemies on the outside if we're still unhappy because we didn't excommunicate our enemies on the inside due to envy. Martin Luther King says, nobody is unhappy about praise, even when they know they don't deserve it, even when they don't believe it. The only people who aren't happy about praise is when that praise is going too much towards somebody else. So what are some steps we can move forward to excommunicate the enemies on the inside, which is called anarthanabriti, because we see that it's a waste of time, you know, to defeat our outer enemies if it brings us a great unhappiness when our friends glorify our enemies. So when our friends glorify our enemies, then what do we say? If you're friends with my enemy, then you're also my enemy. And this cycle keeps continuing and continuing. So what are some steps we could do to the real excommunication?
Yeah, I think I tried to cover that during, you know, the class, when I quoted the Sutta Goswami's instruction, the Shushusho Shadanana Shya verse, and so on, just give us the directions of how we can get to the point to be situated in this Ananda Chimaya Rasa Vigraha type of position. So we have to start by gaining an affection, an affinity for hearing. And we do that by serving devotees, especially serving those devotees who are pure-hearted. But the understanding is that, I serve the pure-hearted devotees, and then I start to look around, not pure-hearted, this one also, definitely not. That one, that one, definitely not. So I don't serve the community of devotees, I only serve those who I think or I understand they're advanced and pure. But that's not the principle. The principle is that, you know, serving Prabhupada means serving Prabhupada's followers, Prabhupada's devotees. So we serve the devotees. We start with that. By serving, we gain the affinity. When Krishna sees the affinity, then he starts to cleanse our heart from within. And then give us the process of serving both the Bhagavatam, the book Bhagavatam, and the person's Bhagavatam. And that's how the process of purification and happiness start to take place. So, you know, we have our emphasis, if we are still in a platform of being conditioned, is service to the process of hearing and chanting, and service to the devotees, like simultaneously. All right. Thank you so much. Garantarashim and Bhagavatam ki jai.